or somebody here, raise your hand, please, so we can officially notify, what's your... Steve, he had his hand up.
We're still under the three question of best award.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that, you know, the Veterans of Foreign Wars just had their Valentine's dance, and Martha Madera, being part of the municipality board, did all the cooking for us, and I just wanted to, you know, recognize her and thank her so much that what she did for us, you know, and so we really appreciate it. She really, she did everything pretty much by herself, you know, she had help, but man, it really was a big push and made our Valentine's dance very successful.
How did you guys do her? I mean, how was it?
She did very well. This place was packed. Every seat was taken, every parking stall was full.
She parked out in the venue.
Oh, really?
It was probably one of the best Valentine's dances we had in the last 4 years. And the icing was the dinner that Martha Madera did for us.
That's good.
Special thank you to her.
Hey, Martha.
And Phil's gonna pass out.
Go ahead. Mr. Cervantes.
That fundraiser, that's just not what I had my hand about, but that fundraiser funds four scholarships that we give away to four local kids at $500 each.
Oh, really?
That event, so...
That helped?
Funded.
Oh, that's good.
Funded, so that participation from the community is huge, and we only give them to Biola students. Not that we're biased, but we know the need here, so it's good. So thanks for that. But my point was, back to the point of order, Tranquility was not shunned. They were given a 3-month extension to be able to get what they needed done before that meeting. So it wasn't like they just said, well, you know, you've been suspended from the, your ability to try for funding. They were given 3 months, and they asked for another extension because they found out none of their property owners that they were looking at putting sidewalk in were notified, and they had verbal or written permission from the property. Biola had all three. It's one of the first things. So kudos to you, the board, and your staff for being ahead of the curve, not behind the curve. And it's critical because if you're not, guess what? You're not going to find funding. And I was there. I saw it. I think, and I'm not being biased, Biola has their stuff together. The engineering, the pictures, the support, the different agencies that show up to support the funding is head and shoulders above the rest of the communities. And right now they're going, what the heck is going on in Biola? So you'll see communities like Tranquility that wasn't going after funding for sidewalks that's saying, hey, if they can do it, we can do it. So it's becoming infectious. So what we're doing here in this community is also helping other communities because we're acting as a spearhead, and they're saying, hey, it can be done. So they're starting to empower themselves, which in essence is a good thing. So it's not just here, it's a regional thing.
Well, you know, the thing is that Biola, there's a revolution going on here in Biola for the good. And it's, and I think I used the terminology about the phoenix coming out of the ashes. We're starting to make a little noise, so they're recognizing it.
You know, I think because this community was so dormant in the past, there was really no push from, you know, the people that were in charge. I'm not saying,
right.
Well, even the board, you know, because you kind of go with what the manager or whatever is put before you, but nobody really ever pushed as far as grants, as far as anything. I think the only biggest grant they had was this building.
Right.
Pipeline or water line, the old water line.
Oh, that was back in the
76.
Yeah.
But I also like to say, Rudy, I believe it's part of the education process, because if you don't understand exactly what your capacity is, how do you know how to get it?
Yeah.
So we have been able to educate ourselves and learn, and this is the outcome. It's very positive. Thank you.
Well, you know, I think that Eddie has stepped up to the plate and educated us as far as parliamentary procedure and stuff like that. So, you know, thank you. Okay, Mr. Robles, you're on. Item A.
If I could just say, introduce him a little bit. I asked him to come tonight and give a crime report. One of the things that we made very clear about our mission is that we're focused on the quality of life and safety, and crime is a big part of quality of life in the community. And so I asked him to give a one-year deal, since we haven't had this before. And so you'll see he'll kind of go over that, but I kind of like to make him part of our ongoing life going forward.
It's good.
So we have regular reports. It doesn't necessarily need to be every month, but on a regular basis. So anyway, Anthony has been a great support for Biola, and take away.
Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. I appreciate that. Good evening, everybody. Officer Willis, as you know, Community Service Officer of Sheriff's Office. As Mr. Miller has already mentioned, I'd like to go ahead and present some crime stats that have occurred in the community of Biola. Now, please bear in mind, I am saying just in the community, within the boundaries of the community only. What you see in front of you are not all the calls for service or all everything that has occurred in the past year, 2014. It is not everything. What I have done is I have compiled just some of the stats of just some of the calls that are kind of pertinent. Some of them may have drawn case numbers. Some of them don't. Some of them require case numbers, some of them do. Some of them may even look like they would, and I'll go over it, some of them and tell you what the dispositions are, some of the calls were. Some of them may seem like, okay, nothing was done, but they are significant. That's why I put them on this paper. I also encourage and invite you, and everybody else, it's like I've always invited everybody throughout the whole community, to go to crimereports.com. Crimereports.com, and you may write it down. This is a website that is it's nationwide throughout the whole country. And you can go to your community and see what is going on in this your community, the crimes that's happening up to date, and up to even out your skirts, the outskirts of Biola especially as well. Because what happens in the outskirts of Biola is very pertinent to what can come to the community. What can happen and flood into the community, as you all know. So, with that, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I will go ahead and start off here because we got plenty of other to talk about.
Well, and some of the abbreviations you're going to need to...
yes, sir.
Like RTF.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm here.
Oh, report to call.
Yes. So these are the crime stats from 2014 from January 1st to December 31st of 2014. Mind you, I left out January and February. This February's not done, and next month. Hopefully, if I'm back next month, I'll be able to fill you in on those for the month. The first one we can go ahead and lead off and start off with is a residential burglary with a report to follow. Now, notice that I have kind of zeroed out the last two digits of the actual address for confidentiality of that person, whoever that person is. And it gives you the data there as well. I'm sorry, I take that back. The first one is a recovered stolen vehicle. Of course, it's THP. TOT means turned over to CHP. So what they do is they come over out, especially for most of ours, not all of our vehicles recoveries, but they come out for our vehicle recoveries and they take over and they return it back to the owner or take it to wherever they need to take it to. The second one is a residential burglary. Shots fired in the area. That's approximately about 1:23 in the a.m. And unable to locate, the deputy was unable to locate that. I'm sure you all may feel strongly about shots fired in your area. This would be a very pertinent call. And I was on January 20th on 4th and H area, the 4th and H area. A prowler call. The caller was stating that there's somebody pounding on the door approximately around 11:30 at night. Checks okay. And the deputy got out there. Fortunately, sometimes because we are short-handed, and we do come from a long distance, there was nobody around. That occurred on the 29th of January, on 3rd Street. Noise nuisance, necessary action taken to that. It's what it was, the loud music, the loud party went on, and the deputy came out and asked for them to throw the music, and they did. They were compliant. That occurred on the 4th. February. A disturbance, the necessary action taken. Of course, no complaint desired at that time, but every disturbance, I'm sure, is pertinent, as you may understand. That occurred on February 8th on G Street. The next one would be ambulance request. Subject having trouble breathing, EMS was called out on February 8th. That would be on A Street. Now, granted, I know somebody may know what these calls are about, may have been there, may have witnessed it, or, but like I said, we have to go ahead and just blot out the numbers to the, whatever, for confidentiality. Check the welfare on G Street on the 9th of February. Subject of suffered an injury was not heard from several weeks, actually. Somebody was, I believe the person stated their relative was hurt, suffered a back injury, and had not heard from them, so we were called out to go check on them. Suspicious vehicle at about approximately almost 1 a.m. in the morning on the 14th of February on 3rd Street. Necessary action taken to that. Depends on certain locations in the community where we know there's a lot of suspicious activity, like say H&S, health and safety activity, then we definitely always try to make it a point to respond. Or I should say the deputies try to make it a strong point to respond every time. Suspicious activity, yes. The subjects in a white vehicle were at this residence near the location of the residence, but were gone on arrival by Viola. This is a reoccurring incident that's happening or disturbance within at this location. It happened on February 16th. Public hazard, 4 vicious wolf hybrid dogs from the surrounding neighborhood housing were, of course, unattended. And Liberty Animal Control came out. So we teed that to them, turned it over to them. And that occurred on the 18th of February. Suspicious vehicle. The caller believes that someone was watching him or her from the vehicle. No incident. Gone on arrival. Happened on February 20th. We've had a few calls from this location. And this person was, of course, I don't want to say him or her, but the person was actually, has been saving people watching them, so we have to kind of keep an eye out for that. The disturbance of 2 females, the subjects were involved in a physical disturbance, so no complaint desired. Sorry about that. That happened on the 21st of February. A suspicious person, passerby, reported a suspicious person or suspicious male subject in front of the fire station. When the deputy got there, gone on arrival. Of course, you know we protect our own, we protect each other. Ambulance, fire, and law enforcement. So we protect this, we protect the community. The 26th of February. Trespassing. Subject in the vehicle was found, the term is used as squatting in a residence or a location that seems to be abandoned. But actually, what it was, this residence was up for sale. And actually, the realtor actually called it in. It occurred on the 26th of February. I'm sorry, the 28th of February. I'm going to go to the next page here. Vandalism and petty theft at this location. But actually, the call came in as a vandalism. Turned out that there was actually more than that. It was actually a petty theft on 3rd and Shaw area, 10th of March. The suspicious activity caller states that dogs were barking and could hear. Caller states that their phone dogs were barking and could hear whispering in the alley. Back of the alley behind their house. Checked okay. Happened on the 12th of March. Fire was turned over to, of course, the fire department on Shaw Avenue. I don't know if any of you are aware of that one. The recovered stolen vehicle was stolen out of Clovis and a report to follow by the deputy. It's a courtesy report for Clovis PD. That was on the 29th of March. Public nuisance. 8 to 10 subjects were drinking at this location. Necessary action taken. They were asked to leave. We'll be on Viola and G Street on the 30th of March. Suspicious activity. Vandalism occurred at this location. A porch light was broken. necessary action taken by the deputy. It was on the 4th of April. Residential burglary, the reporting party came home and discovered that their house had been broken into through the bedroom window. Report to follow. And so, you know, we do follow up. I try to follow up on these, a lot of these burglaries, especially since I am, this is my community, and part of my grant-funded community. So if that, the deputy doesn't follow up, then I usually do. And I try to offer operation identification, which is a free service as well, just information. Check the welfare for a possible H&S subject at this location. This was because there was some children at the residence, and there was actually, I believe that there was actually sales going on at this location. So we kind of have to really watch out for that. Especially when we know that there's children at a certain location, that's, we actually get more than just the deputies to go out there, just FYI. And that was on the 14th of April. I'm sorry, yes, no, the 15th of April. Suspicious person, caller being followed by unknown subject in another vehicle. The vehicle was gone on arrival. So I got a couple calls from that certain subject. On Viola Avenue on the 25th of April. Narcotics violation. Neighbors nearby, residents smoking, and the smoke was actually entering into the caller's residence. Just a little insight on that. When we get calls like that, it's really difficult unless the deputy comes in and actually catches the person in the act to just go ahead and make an arrest. Some people, I'm sure you may all know, but some people are not too familiar with that. But we always do turn the information over to our narcotics unit so that they can follow us and they can start investigating slowly and surely, because it's kind of hard for us to get there every time when they're too late to catch them in the act. Okay, let's see, vandalism. Unknown suspect deliberately spilled oil over the property. This caller. Be the 12,000 block of West C Avenue on the 7th of May. According to the caller, this has happened more than once. So, I don't know if anyone wants to go oil on the singular time. Suspicious activity prior suspect that spilled oil. That was related as well. So, I thought I put that in as well. Viola Avenue, the 21st, that happened 6 days later. Shots fired. Caller first thought that it was fireworks, but learned that it was gunshots later on. Quiet on arrival. Next call is gunshots or shots fired. Several reports, 6 to 10 gunshots in the area behind the school, textbook A. Yeah, I believe that there was actually, I want to say there was about 15 calls for that. 15 calls that one night.
I remember that one.
Yeah, never forget that. A little early for 4th of July. Vandalism, callers reports vehicles vandalized at residence and knows who did it. Report to follow. Public hazard, down stop sign at this location. Every single one of those down stop signs are reported to Public Works. Stick by. Suspicious activity, caller calling from his or brother's, or his brother states this female is stalking. A female is stalking him in a vehicle. Gone arrival, that wasn't the first time. That wasn't the first call. That wasn't a call. Just going to put one in there at least to draw the attention. Unwanted suspect or subject, that's usually that can result or be, I can show anything pretty much. You could actually have a vendor come to your house and that would be an unwanted subject, especially if they won't leave. Just that way. Caller states his ex-wife has been stalking him for the past 4 months and is in the area now. The deputy got there, gone on arrival. Next call is public hazard. Caller reports a broken fire hydrant at this location on G Street. Suspicious activity. Caller states that the unknown male adult is making shooting and throat cutting gestures at passing vehicles. Gone on arrival. This is, I won't state any names, but the subject is.
He's a 5150 candidate. He's only what, about 20 years old?
Mid-20s.
Yeah.
But if you pass him, he'll say hello. Perfectly clear.
Well, he was fighting with the taco people over there across the street. He had a big chain with him.
Yeah. Is that subject to have gang ties? Because I know he has gang tattoos.
Former gang, and, I believe former gang affiliate, and former drug user. It's not unfortunate. There's some unstable instability right there. It seems pretty unstable mentally.
Did they ever find out, I'm way ahead of myself, Valentine's Day, the officer pulled in around 11, there was a gunshot wound towards the apartments around Shaw Avenue. And he jumped out of the service vehicle and said, I don't think that was fine. He said, oh, there's gunshots that they got a report. And he jumped back in and saw. That was February 14th.
So, 11. The actual person who was doing the shooting?
No, the sheriff, he got a call about it.
Dispatch.
He just got out of the vehicle and he said, I got to go out. He said, gunshots over here, in the apartment or on Shaw Avenue.
This past February?
The 14th, but you don't have any.
No, I wasn't aware of that. No. That was a Saturday. Yeah. Usually, yeah. I mean, really often Saturdays, yeah. But, next month, I should have this. I probably give you some information on that. I should have over January and February.
Well, they stopped earlier to check what's going on, but they said they'd be back around 11 or so, and they did. And they got out and got back in real fast and was gone.
Yeah. I'm not fully aware of that.
I can't say
exactly what happened there. Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, unwanted subject. The caller states that the disturbance of several subjects at this location, gone on arrival. There was about three or four of them that night. About three or four calls for apparently the same people were fighting.
Yeah.
Public hazard. Yes, sir.
How do you indicate how many calls were actually made on the same disturbance? Where are you seeing that?
You have a separate list? That's on top of my head.
Oh, okay.
That's because I
was... You study the report.
Okay. You can probably... I don't know if you'll be able to see that on crimereports.com. You might not be able to. These calls I got here are from our CAD system, our computer-aided dispatch system, which is pretty much correspondent to crimereports.com. So you'll...
Because Crime Reports also puts it on a pin on the map, too, right? Not
right.
Necessarily the address, but you can see the map of Biola and the place where the crimes take place by address, the type and place.
Yes, address. And you can actually see your PC-290 registrants, sex offenders. On top of that, they actually have little icons. Different icons for different crimes on crimereports.com. You'll see the little icon, but it won't leave you baffled as to what the crime was that occurred. You'll actually know. It'll explain it to you. It's pretty explanatory, but you just have to kind of study it. You have to go over it yourself and you have to mess with it a lot here and there. And it's a pretty cool, it's a pretty neat tool. It's very important. Unwanted subject under influence is causing disturbance at this location, garnering arrival. Of course, wasn't the only one. Occurred G Street on the 23rd of August. Trespassing, call report, former tenant returned to the rental to remove their steals and property. Necessary action taken. The person actually came in now. He's actually trying to pull the garage door. Yeah, that's it's kind of hard to do that. How do you still grow the door?
Very carefully.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the side door. I'm talking about the actual
door. Yeah, the big one, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to give nobody away, but that is kind of odd. Check the welfare of an individual. Caller states that he or she hears a female yelling for help in the alleyway on G Street. On the 13th of September, we get a few calls like that here and there, and we respond.
It's usually the same person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if you see the addresses, it looks pretty repetitious.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you know where these crimes are occurring. I know you know, because you live here, you're very familiar, you understand the tendencies of what happens with the crimes here. Must probably do anything new. Petty theft. The caller reports a cell phone stolen out of a purse at this location. Report to the following. I don't remember the call, the exact details on that call. I apologize for that. Happened on the 16th of September. Residential burglary call reports that residence was burglarized and firearms were taken. There was three firearms. One rifle, one shotgun, and a pistol. So, till this day, we still don't know what it was recovered. Good. Shots fired. Caller reports rapid fire in the area. That's kind of scary. September. And next one is disturbance. Next page over. Caller states possible or unknown subject causing disturbance. Possibly under the influence. I apologize for that. H&S gone on arrival. The caller stated that when we refer to the person, it was definitely under the influence of big meth. Narcotics violation. The caller reports that H&S growing at this location. Necessary action taken. That necessary action taken is email or to one of our narcotics units. That's what the deputy did. And you can see the one right after that. It's 2 days later, another one at this location on C Street. Same location. They are, I have made partial calls on this one and another one. Narcotics are coming, fully start sticking out on these locations. Just FYI. My brain hurried up and start catching people on that. Assault with a deadly weapon. Caller reports a male subject was threatened by another male with a firearm. I believe the victim was gone on arrival. Of course, the suspect as well. The victim was gone on arrival. Battery. Caller reports male and female were involved in a physical disturbance. Arrest was made. This was actually, I believe those were relatives that were fighting through. That up on North Raisin Avenue here. Check the welfare. Caller reports a male adult, baseball bat, ranting and raving about something and talking to himself. That, again, is our friend. And I'll go over that in a little bit when I'm done with these. Suspicious activity. Caller reports that she received threats earlier and the suspect is at the residence gone on arrival. That's about third or fourth time in that week that that person had reported that. That same subject. Suspicious activity. Caller is being harassed by another subject and is at the residence now at that time. Necessary action taken. Deputy comes. Actually make contact with that person. Last page here, a threatening call. Caller reports receiving threatening phone calls by unknown, by a known subject, report to follow. Grand theft, vehicle stolen from this location, report to follow. I believe that there was a firearm in that vehicle as well. Yeah, that's why I put that on there. There was a, I'm not sure if it was a shotgun or a rifle. It was a long range with them. Disturbance, caller reports suspects. Suspect arrived at the residence calling, causing a disturbance. Got an arrival. Gunshots in the area, caller reports shots fired. The area, known suspect, got on arrival. Vandalism, call reports several locations in the community of Bella were hit with graffiti. That's not a newsflash, I'm sure. I've seen that throughout the whole past year. We had tons of it. Last 2 years, we had tons of it. It's actually been quieter, a little bit more, a little less lately, but you can still pick up at any time. And final one would be petty theft. The caller reports property stolen by a subject or subject with video footage. So that makes it concrete. It's easier for deputy to prosecute and to arrest. Our, our friend actually was picked up a week ago. Same subject, passes by the school and does this stuff repeatedly. And he's already been talked to by the three other deputies, and goes to private property apartments over there, over there on 3rd Street, by all the village apartments. I personally, it was actually about a couple of days, but I personally talked to this person and told him not to come around anymore. We've been advised too many times. This is a, I think it's a major concern to this community, because apparently he comes out at all hours of the day and night. There's no, his relatives are kind of, they're exhausted. I'm trying to help him. We have our mental health units that come out from the county. We have passed this information on to them, so they can actually start doing a little more to try to get this person some help. As it's a big issue, it's a scary issue. It's, we don't want something to happen to anybody, especially the kids at school, or even that messed up to myself.
I, one of the things that looked really jumped out to me is the number 12,000. Mm-hmm. It's 12,000 West E, West B, West H, West G, A. And so I assume, I just want to be clear, that's Biola Avenue.
Off of Biola Avenue, right?
No.
That's where's the 12,000?
Actually, 12,000 is anything that's east and west.
By where I live.
East and west, up from 7th all the way to Howard.
So the cross, the north-south cross street is what, 3rd?
What's that?
Between 3rd and 5th.
It's between 3rd and 5th, or 4th?
What's that?
The 12,000 block.
Well, 12,000 block is...
The 12,000 block, but it seems like there's crime on A, B, C, D,
well, yeah,
E,
anything that's
H,
east and west in Biola is 12,000. West 12,100, 12,500.
Okay. But there's a lot of different calls for service there. The other question I had was, I was kind of breaking them out. You know, I had 5 gunshots, 4 vehicle issues, 3 vandalisms, 12 suspicious activities, 11 disturbances, 2 narcotics, a couple petty thefts, and other stuff. So when you guys look at this, do you guys look at it in terms of the not just where the crimes are taking place, but what the types are and...
The volume?
Yeah.
The volume of the calls, yes.
Right.
Yes, the reoccurrence, yes.
Well, and then are you looking at the level of crime in, say, 2014 compared to the crime in 2013? What's the year-over-year comparison? You guys look at that?
I believe, personally, I think that those will, because I was here during that time, I think 2013 was higher than 2014. Don't quote me on that. because I haven't done the stats on that one, 2013.
Because a lot of times what happens, too, is you get a lot of crime incidents, and you arrest somebody, and all of a sudden those crimes just disappear. Because one guy was committing, was getting, generating a lot of calls for service, whether it was suspicious activity or beating somebody up or whatever. The other question I had was gangs. There's nothing in here that ties any of these 57 calls for service to gang activity. But do you guys have an internal, do you track that at all?
Our gang unit, our magic unit does, when they come out and they make their calls, whether they come out and they do their, they come at random.
Well,
but no, my question is, there's 57 incidents in the year of, in 2014. Is it listed somewhere else on here that you didn't print that there was a gang connection to this call for service?
No. I think crimereports.com would repeat that or would be able to be able to reflect that for you. But I didn't see anything that was actually gang related. And that was a surprise as well. But there was nothing that really stood out that required a case number or an actual arrest in 2014.
Okay.
Now, the year before, 2013, there was.
Okay. Because part of where I'm going with this is, part of what we, Biola's pretty small, and people know everybody knows everybody. That's the good thing, and there's, you know, not always so good. But part of what, this is the kind of information that contributes to the way the community feels about itself. You know, I live in a community that has a lot of crime, or we live in a really safe place, and it's safe for kids to walk around at night. You know, no big deal. And so part of my purpose for asking Anthony to be giving you guys information is so that all of us can be ambassadors to the community, too, about what's truth, what the data really says about the crime.
What would be the relative comparison of a community like Biola, you know, the crime that is here versus another community that's like, well, maybe five other ones are higher, maybe five others are lower, is, you know, because there's, you know, just like pollution, there's, you know, so many parts per million that are acceptable.
Right.
You know, what is the relative, you know, comparison of what's going on here? Is it minimal?
Like compared to Malaga or Kawa or Carruthers or Del Rey?
Which is a very comparable community.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I'd like to tell you that yes, Biola is safer than Del Rey, the community in Del Rey, especially since they're very comparable in the community, and they're about the same size. However, and this may answer your question as well, as you know, how many calls that were actually gang related that occurred in the community, but were never reported. And that doesn't reflect on crimereports.com. That's the unfortunate part. And that's what we as law enforcement and our community need to be a little more vigilant. We need to become a little more aware and not, I don't understand, I'm not sure if it's fear of retaliation or if they feel that it's not in their house, so why? I'm not gonna stick my nose in it. But to answer that question, hopefully, I hope I answered your question. As far as these stats and this, from what I saw, that the community of Biola is a little more safer than Del Rey, but that's not counting, unfortunately, a lot of the calls that don't get called in, and we don't have that call volume in our system. Because I know, I'm sure you all know, that there are a lot of crimes that happen. They may be gang-related, but are not reported. And that's for any community. That's not just Biola. That's anywhere. How many can happen in Fresno? Millions, probably. How many happen even in Huron? Tons. But like I said, I hope I answered your question. I believe that this, compared to a community like Del Rey or near Huron, I believe that Biola is.
So we could get a measure of that on crimereport.com.
You could.
We could look at both.
You can look at both and compare them.
It's kind of my point.
Yes, sir.
Philip Robert.
Oh, he's the president for all people.
No.
That's what I said. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Ray.
No, go ahead.
Since I was a kid, and probably everybody else was a kid, shots fired all the time. The good thing is nobody's getting hit, because it is got a little bit of a country feel that the people sometimes will fire a gun in the front yard just because it's the country and they can't. So not always are necessarily gunshots being fired at people. So that's a good thing. The other thing is that the gang part of it. I know that the graffiti abatement is coming out as often as the municipality or anybody calls them, and it's really got the graffiti under control, and it's been suppressed. Yes. But I know they block the taggings, and those taggings, 9 out of 10, are gang-related. Whether it's their own little gang, because 3 or more people are considered a gang to the sheriff's department. Yes. So may there be a small mechanism, but it's there. Yes. So those calls should be also tied into a criminal report, because that's gang activity in your community, whether it's notification of a territory, notification of signature, whatever, buy from, tennis shoe, whatever. And those are all those things that are gang and drug related. So that's another area that you could probably get to find out how many times. And that when the graffiti team comes out, the graffiti abatement team comes out from the sheriff's department, they take pictures and they submit those pictures back to Magic. So that's another report.
Now, you were saying that some of these crimes, gang-related crimes, are not reported. Now,
people don't call.
Is it the people don't call, or the sheriff's department don't write it down?
No.
Or is it both?
Well, no.
I got a reason for that. You were asking that.
I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that one or two may not slip through the cracks. If the deputies are shorthanded, because we are, but the deputies are, and I'm not trying to come to bat for them, I'm trying to be a little more subjective here. I'm sorry, objective here. But there are a lot of calls where people do not call it in. And I have community members, citizens come up to me and tell me, this happened on Saturday. Did you guys do this? No. Did you call it in? No. Do you know if anybody else called it in? I don't think so. I can't tell you how many times I received that. And I'm not talking bad about the citizens. I'm not trying to in any way, shape, or form. But that is just, I guess when you become numb, I think they become numb to it. And they have almost, like, in a sense, accepted it.
Sort of turn a blind eye to it, huh?
The way it is.
Yeah. And it's going to, by the time the deputies get here, they're going to be at home or long gone by then anyways. So why call it in? But what they don't understand, and I tell them this, believe me, I tell them this over and over, when you call it in, that is call volume. That goes into our system. If we don't respond, we still see that there's a lot of crime happening here, more than what our stats show, or there is more crime happening than our stats show. But we need you to call it in every single time, so that we can see that volume and see how important it is for the deputies to actually be here more in Biola. And that is my cry to those citizens. And I'm not disrespecting them. That is just what I have. That's what I tell them every single time.
Well, the reason I ask that, because, you know, in the fire service, the 911 operator would call North Central. North Central would dispatch whichever engine, engine 3 or whatever. And it logged a call number for the year and for the month and for the week for that station, for that shift. Now, and that's where we got our information, but there was always an ID number to go with it, or crime report, if you would.
Right.
Crime report number, if you would.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, you're talking acceptance.
Yeah.
It's like the speeding that goes down by all of us happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it, but if you call it, they're gone by the time anybody even gets there. And it's like you just sort of accept it.
Yeah, unfortunately, but that's like one I can't, personally, I can't accept.
I know you guys, that's why.
Not in front of the school, at least.
You can be on the phone every day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Everybody thinks the speed is the sheriff's department's issue. It's the highway patrol.
It is.
So they help, but it's really the highway patrol. So if you want to call in the speeder, you call on the highway patrol department. Today, there was two highway patrolmen on motorcycles in Biola. Somebody called. They don't come out of here because they came out of here. But if they, you call them, they'll come. But I promise you, they will not leave until they write a ticket.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is that if a car is speeding and the only officer around is the sheriff's officer, he's going to pull him over.
Correct us, right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, he's a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anthony, I have a question
yes.
for you. And the village apartments, I see you there all the time, but I see you during the mid-morning to about 1 or 2 sometimes. But there's drugs in those apartments, and there's kids in the apartments, they sell the drugs. And the management don't seem to care. Mm-hmm. Once they lock their door, it's like, fend for yourself, do whatever you want, but don't bother me. And the previous manager, they had there,
4962 3rd Street.
They were very active,
yeah.
And they, if they saw anyone that was selling drugs or something, they would ask them to leave.
Yeah.
And now it seems like the new management, they open from 9 to 2, and they do a little run around, and then they go in and lock their doors and.
You're on your own, buddy.
Yeah, there is nothing they can do. They won't help a person that they're locked out or that a child is hurt. Or they won't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spoken with the manager, and they get offended every time we say that previous managers did a better job than they did. Mr. Dwight called Robert, and for 2 days they were out there until 4 o'clock. But once 4 o'clock came, they were locked in. Nothing was done ever. Their computer lab was open. Now it's not. It's like it's going down really fast.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Have you, because you've taken a bold stand, and I commend you for it, because it's not always an easy thing to do. Have you contacted not those managers, those managers' bosses, because they work for a property management company out of Sacramento, and they have an answer to that. And they're really the real influence.
Dwight gave us the phone number. That's why I'm saying they did something for a few days.
Yeah, you can go call again.
Yeah, which I intend to do, but I was waiting for his report because I see him there all the time, every day, mostly every day. But these people don't sell drugs until the afternoon. And you see cars come in and go. And there is an elderly lady that she has an apartment right there on the corner.
Yes.
And by 6 o'clock, there are 6 or 7 guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out.
I'm using gun like 5.
Yeah.
That's
so everything goes after 5, it goes like
yeah.
a routine that keeps going on and on and on, and it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And there are kids in 2 of the apartments that sell drugs.
Yeah.
There are kids.
And that's
a big problem.
Part of the, that is a huge problem. That's, I think I indicated that one.
Yeah, that's on the second page.
Crime stat.
Yeah.
I personally let the narcotics units know about that apartment number. The apartment, I gave the description of the person selling the drugs.
And they're from.
I confronted the person selling the drugs myself.
They came from Kerman.
Really?
They
yeah, which is not
Kerman.
My job, which I'm not supposed to be doing. But, you know, anybody, after a while, you know, even a wounded dog you can kick so many times will stand up. And,
mm-hmm.
and I, especially knowing that there's kids and that person has kids there, that really irks me personally. I take
because
it personally.
At nighttime, what they do is sometimes they send the kid to the car.
Yes.
They
I've, send, I've,
heard
I've
that seen
as well.
That. They send the kid to the car.
To get those goods.
Yeah, they would just walk around like they're going out or something,
mm-hmm.
but the kid actually goes and delivers and gets the money back.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see that because they're very young.
Not to defend the managers. I have heard the same thing, the stories. What you told me, I've heard the same thing from a few people in the community.
Oh, they come to me all the time. Every time my niece happens to live there, and every time I walk in, it's like, boom, 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 everybody comes to me, and I'm like, Hello?
However, they do report it to me all the time whenever they see it. But this person is actually doing it more. They're out. They're more gutsy now. They're just doing it out in the plain open now.
Yeah. So after 5 o'clock.
Our NARC guys
have staked them out, and they are starting that. They have started that, and I have get.
Because you have to catch in the
app, our right? Meet forum, which everybody in the whole county can see, or pretty much the whole county, but all the sheriff's office can see. And they've read that, what I wrote in there, my insertion there. But like I said, unless we catch them in the act. If it was gang related, then we can get magic there as well. And magic usually does things like that.
We get license plates?
Yeah, I have license plates. I put that in there as well.
I mean,
I have a vehicle.
We're the good guys.
A description of the person. And it is getting bad. But when I'm there, that person doesn't.
They don't come out.
No, they won't come out.
They don't come out.
Yeah, and if he does, don't really look at me.
Yeah.
He won't look at, and I'm not trying to say he's afraid. I'm not trying to say that at all.
But, no, he stays in. He sends out the women to do the stuff.
The managers are. I'm not saying that they're perfect. I do think that they could be a little. They could do a little more. Mm-hmm. I will agree to that. But they do tell me every single time. Everything that they see, they tell me. They tell me everything. And they called it in as well. They called things in as well. He has been threatened by that person and another one that wanders in with him.
And how come they haven't issued an eviction notice on him?
I was going to get to that.
Turn him in, man.
Yeah, he said he called it in. I was going to get to that. There have been 2 written notices on that person's lease for the smell of H&S.
Yeah.
Just information. By the manager.
What's H&S?
Health and safety. Anything to do with drugs, anything to do with illicit drugs. And that is, I don't know if that gives you peace of mind, but they are trying. I believe that that manager is afraid of retaliation.
I can imagine, yes.
Set because they live right next to him. Not pretty far at all.
Yeah. Well,
and so I'm like, okay, that's a catch 22. It's like, okay, but then again, you know, if they don't do anything, that's their job.
Kids in there. That's what I'm concerned is the kids.
Yeah. It's a catch 22.
I'm not defending the system at all, but narcotics teams aren't dumb. And sometimes if they're on the trail of a big distribution thing, they won't go after their little ones.
They go after those big fish.
And the reason why is once they hit one of those little ones, they shut everything down, and they're hard to track. So when they're on the trail of somebody, they have to sit back, unfortunately, and sometimes let this happen until they can build the case, and then they come in crack. But the reality is they do it on a priority basis, which means if they're low priority, they're Mickey Mouse little thing, that's not where they spend a lot of their time. That doesn't make it right, but they are understaffed, and they try to get the biggest fish first. So there's only so many guys on the narcotics team, and they can only have so many, but there may be a bigger picture that they're not going to divulge if there is one, and or it's a small operation, and they don't have the resources to come over here and do what they need to do. And it's a sad thing, but it's a truth.
Now, there's another over there by where Martha lives. Isn't there?
On G Street?
Oh, no.
Where the lady yells all the time?
Oh, okay.
For the what?
Where the lady yells all the time.
Oh. Well, no, right down the street from your house, on the same side.
I got them by both, on my right and in front.
Oh, excuse me. Hey, I didn't know about that one. But if the law knows about this, and I understand what Philip's saying, you know, and after so many complaints, how come nothing's been done, to alleviate the problem?
That's when you call the sheriff Mims, and you write her a letter, or you make some kind of noise that's going to bring to the attention that citizens are not, there's no tolerance, we're not going to allow this to happen. What are you doing? She, as a public servant, has to respond. either by call, by letter, or by dispatching, or dispatching officers.
You don't have to call the same thing.
Yeah, you don't have to call the same. You can go straight to the sheriff.
You can go straight to the sheriff, you can call, right, our dispatch and say, I'd like to be transferred to the sheriff's.
Or the general.
Miss Sheriff, Mims, Secretary, to actually speak to her.
And who's the area commander now? I asked you this before, but.
Kathy Curtis?
Kathy Curtis.
Kathy Curtis.
Where's Vicki at? Vicki, when her.
Scott.
Yeah.
She's still around.
Is she?
She's still around.
She's my hero.
I indicated in that forum, that there are kids living in that residence.
Yeah.
There are kids, and usually that rings a bell, and it gets done faster. If I could tie some gang ties to them, and I know I can get the deputies, the magic units to come out here, but not really.
Okay.
I haven't really seen, I saw a couple of tattoos on them, but they didn't look like gang tattoos. And it's like, the only way to find them. Sometimes my hand is tired.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
I see a lot of good things happening in Biola, though. Some stars are lining up.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Carry on.
Right.
Thank you.
Good night.
All right. Now, can we have the next the consent calendar? Have both of those meetings one motion?
Sir.
Okay. Consent calendar. Item 4, A and B. Approval of minutes of regular meeting of January 15, 2015, and approval of minutes meeting minutes of January 28, 2015. Do I hear a motion?
I'm making a motion to accept those minutes dated for January 15th and January 28th of 2015.
Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Review of old business. Item 5. Review of financial reports as of January 31st, 2015.
The motion to approve.
Do we have a motion to approve?
It's actually a motion and a second before you can discuss.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. We approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Those in favor? Aye.
Well, then if there's any discussion.
Oh.
Anybody have any questions?
Any questions?
Accept them? Or?
Well, no, you made the motion, so all you need to do is, if there's no discussion, then you just take the vote.
I have a question.
Okay.
I see miles for you, and I see miles for Florinda, but I never see miles for Elaine.
That's because we really don't want to pay Elaine for her driving. No, I'm kidding. It's because she doesn't turn her mileage in, and I don't beat her up about it.
Beat her up.
But, and insist that she does. She does a lot of stuff on her way and to and from work.
I know, that's why I'm asking.
But she lives about 5 miles from her house to the accountant's office, where that's a regular route where we drop stuff off and pick stuff off at on Ingram, north of Herndon. And that's a point well made, Mrs. Madera, and we'll
thank you.
She should do that.
I want to see miles next month.
So which one of the miles is the state on here?
It is down there at the bottom.
It's a smaller check.
It doesn't state.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I don't see miles for Florinda either on here.
No.
No, the previous month.
Yeah, I don't think Florinda had any miles this month.
No, they're just.
But the month before.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, nobody turned in miles this time.
I have another question. Larry Cervantes, was it 200 for both C trains or for one?
Both.
What was the?
The 200.
The 200 for the crane.
Oh, the crane. Yeah, it was for both.
For both?
Yes.
Okay.
That was for Larry Cervantes? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was at a substantial discount, I should add.
Yes.
We got the bylaw discount, the family discount.
$200.
Well, I think normally it would have been $400. I think he gave us a...
That's why I was asking, was it for one or
for
two?
Yeah. So yeah, it was a pretty good deal.
Okay, is that it?
That's it for me.
I vote yes to accept them.
Okay, do I hear a...
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Okay.
The next item was on there for discussion, and I put most of it in my director's comments page. So I don't really have a lot more to add. Did anybody have any questions about that? We spent a lot of time, and we're still awaiting a report. We're paying $2,900 for a phase one environmental assessment on the two parcels. The parcel that is the old Dower gas station property and the one on the alley that was purchased off the tax rolls last year by a guy named Tigran Zamkachoyan from Southern California, who's actually moving to Fresno now. And so we had Paul Humphrey, the environmental guy, was here last
Friday.
And he did but the phase one, there's no actual testing dirt or it's all just history. Finding out aerial photos, tax records, who operated it, all those different kind of things. Finding out as much as you can find out on the records about that.
Did he talk to people about it?
He spent probably, 2 hours with Rudy Ramirez, our local historian, on the history, everything Rudy knew about the property, which was very helpful. And Rudy had some old newspaper articles and old historical photos that he got pictures of. But the next phase, which would be considerably more expensive, would require us to go get a grant. We would go get funding, because then they take core samples of the soil. They do it's kind of a X-ray of the ground 10 feet down on the property to find out everything that's underneath there.
Well, didn't we talk about that one time, of possibly going for a grant on something like that?
Well, yeah, but we don't know how to go for the grant until we have this phase one done. Okay. So the whole purpose of the phase one is to know what we're talking about. So then you can actually write a grant and know what you're asking for. We don't even know what we're asking for.
Now, when Sully Tripp said something about helping us out with a, she could write a grant or something like that.
That wasn't about this.
Oh, was it?
No, there's other people who would be helpful in both state and federal. The state has a lot of money for underground tanks, and the EPA has money, and so I spent a bunch of time talking to all the right people. One of the guys at Fresno State that works with Sally, Ishmael Herrera, hooked me up with all kinds of really, really good contacts. Had a webinar, an online class with an attorney out of San Jose, and then she was a wealth of information. I called her after that to ask her some more specific stuff. And then they hooked me up with another guy, Ignacio Nayarit, out of somewhere up in the Bay Area. Anyway, those guys are really good at what they do, and they know a lot of stuff about how to get stuff done.
Well, those guys, they do grant writing too, don't they?
The Fresno State guys do too.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll have any shortage of people that will help us write grants. But every one of them said, don't touch that property until you get a phase one done. And then you can go for a, you know, get a grant to go, to go for phase two.
The reason why there's so much money in those funds is because everybody's intimidated to get it done.
Well, nobody
they're intimidated.
Nobody wants to do anything with it.
It's not challenging, but it's intimidating because there's a lot.
Speaking of the devil.
So ultimately, end up happening is that those funds sit there because the state and the federal department's already allocated those funds, but everybody says, oh, I don't want to do that. So those funds are sitting there and allocated. There's millions of funds, you guys. Millions of funds, but there is not a lack of funds to do what
You got to know what you're asking.
Yeah. For. When the federal guy was here the time before, he told us, he says, man, there's money out there that you would not believe. And this guy here told us the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I no sooner mention his name and he walks in the door.
Yeah.
Ishmael Herrera from Fresno State. Wanted to make sure everybody knew who you were. Have you met most of our board before?
Yeah, I've been
before. Oh, okay, so you've been here.
Thank you.
Good. But he was extremely helpful in getting us pointing in the right direction. And so I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with the auction or those properties, but we'll see.
So basically, we can't do anything until after phase one is done.
Correct.
Before we can ask for any kind of grant or anything.
Pretty much, yeah. Because we just don't know what we'd be asking for. And you know, the way I presented this to everybody I've talked to is that our interest in doing something to help the community, and that property is still, in my view, a prime piece of real estate for a public space for community, a park or something in that nature. And we're going to continue to, until you tell me not to, we're going to keep moving that direction.
Okay. We ready to go on to the next one?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And these would be a move and approval. And I, if you would make sure, forgive me for not doing it. I said it in my notes, but it has to read a conditional approval of each bid, 13 or 031, and then 13. So when you make the motions, I make a conditional approval of the bid.
So I just read it like it is, and
just add the word conditional.
Okay.
But whoever makes the motion has to say that.
Oh, I don't.
The motion to approve won't be you.
Okay. New business item 6A. Approval of bid project number 13031.
Do we need a motion?
Do we know anything about any of these people? Or
by all accounts, the engineers told us that pretty much every one of them is pretty good.
Okay.
And the guy, the low bid guys, have a really good reputation. Their headquarters out of Huntington Beach, but they have a valley office in Selma, and they've been very competitive on doing it. They're doing a lot of work because they're coming in.
You're talking about Dawson?
I'm talking about Dawson Malden. The way they explain it is Dawson Malden is, there used to be a Dorfmeyer Malden, which was a really big construction firm in
Malden
Dorfmeyer. And these guys are like the next generation. It's like
the kids.
Yeah, it's the daughter married somebody named Dawson, and the cousins, so they're like cousins or something. But they're very highly regarded, and they came in. I mean, if you look at this range on these bids, you know, they came in at 249, and then the highest one was 342. You know, almost $100,000 higher on the one on the Biola Avenue one, and the third one they came in at 179, and the high on that one was 253. So, pretty big spread between the low bid and the high bid. And my sense of it is they don't sub a lot of stuff out. They don't use subcontractors. They have guys in-house that do all of their stuff. And these are jobs that people bid because of how long they think it will take them to do it. Some guys think it'll take them a week because of whatever, 2 weeks or a month, because time's money. If you can get in, get it done, and get out, it costs you less, and it makes your profit higher because you're not paying people to to be here as long. And so these guys have a reputation of being really no-nonsense. They get in, they get it done, and they do good work. So, but by all accounts, the other ones were also...
Well, we've had dealings with Emmett Excavation.
Yeah, that's the only one that I know. Floyd Johnson, is that the one out of Clovis?
I forget, actually.
Vulcan? Oh, there's a Vulcan Concrete, isn't there, out on Plant Road?
Well, I don't know. I know the next phase is you guys, if we get a conditional approval vote tonight, then it goes to the Jonathan Avedian's office up at the CDBG, and they have a bunch of boxes to check, where they check off and make sure that the winning bid guys did everything right, you know, with their bonds and with all of the forms that they have to fill in. Anytime there's federal money, as you guys know, there's just a lot of hoops to jump through. And Jonathan's office is the referee. It was good to have Jonathan and his guys here for the bid opening, and also Cassie Smith, the engineer from Burr Church and Flynn, was here. And she basically was pretty much aware of all these contractors and said, really, they're all pretty good.
So what, you need an informal motion for 031 first?
Yes, we need a formal motion of conditional approval.
Okay, I'll make a formal motion of a conditional approval for Dawson Mulda on project 13031.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Item B. Approval of bid project number 13032.
Same thing.
I'll make the same motion for Dawson and Malden for project 13032, 3rd Street.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. Item C, amendments of resolution number 012015-01, election of directors.
This came to me recently from the elections office person, Brandy Orth, saying that because we're a special district and almost all special districts have historically been odd-numbered elections, that if we wanted it, because there's another district, and I don't remember which one was it.
Kalawah.
Is moving from odd to even. That means that when the county has an odd-numbered election, there's less... one less district to pay for it. So that means our costs would go up. So if we go to even-numbered elections when they have governors and presidents and congresspeople running, there's lots of entities to share the cost, and so our costs go way down. And in the... you saw the note from... the email from...
it's on the back page of the resolution.
Ms. Orth, she gave us a summary, you know, that we've got 360 voters. We've had 2013, 09, 07, 05, and 03, where we didn't even have an election because nobody had an opponent. And so there was zero cost in those years. But in 2011, it cost us $4,400. But because when other districts like Calhoun move off, our costs would jump up to, in 2015, from between $8,000 and $15,000 to have an election if anybody runs against anybody. So if we go, that drops our cost, as it says there, from $900 to $1,200. And so what the process would be, we would have to... this resolution goes to the county, then it goes through a process to the county supervisors, the county supervisors approve it. We'd have to pay for postcards to go to every voter saying, oh, by the way, you're not going to have an election this year, but it's going to be moved to next year.
All this says it extends everybody on this board by 1 year.
Correct. Correct.
So I don't have to worry, we don't have to worry about...
so me. Monique and Reyes, I think, are up in November. And if we do this, your term would be extended 1 year.
Okay.
Until November of 2016. And that would mean that the other three board members,
also
Martha, Rudy, and Mercedes, would be extended from 17 to 18. So I know the burden of leadership would have to be extended in that way, and so you just have to deal with it.
Okay, by the
so, but my recommendation is that you approve the resolution.
All right.
Okay, by Steve, too.
Amendment of resolution number 012015-01. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to amend the resolution number 012015-01.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Okay, item. Correspondence, yeah, and that's all informational, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Just read it out. Yeah.
Okay, item A, City of Biola Community Cleanup, Saturday, February 21st, 2015, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Item B, BCSD Chamber Mixer, Thursday, February 26, 2015, from 5 to 7 p.m. Item C, Fresno County Advisory Meeting was held on February 11, 2015 at 6 p.m. for the sidewalk project. 20 people representing Biola were present, which included three of our board members. Results pending.
That's it.
Item eight, what's this item eight for? Amendment.
Director's comments?
Oh, that's you.
That's me. Oh. The only one thing I wanted to add, and I think I actually put it in here, but Ernesto Garcia, our man of the plan, I don't know if you just wanted to look up and make sure you notice that we have new ceiling tiles in the building. Cost us $140.
Wow.
For all of them? Yeah.
We actually had
a couple left over, yeah. But yeah.
I'm very happy.
Well, what's that?
It looks very nice.
Yeah, it looks way better. What a difference. Well, it cost $140 for the tiles in a hit of time, but that was a pretty good deal.
Now, Ernesto didn't get dizzy climbing that high, did he?
He did, but he didn't fall off, and there's no need for calling.
Well, he broke the ladder.
We won't see him for a week.
Yeah, well, now he wants a new ladder. He thinks the ladder's broken. But no, I'm... the only other thing I think I'd like to kind of throw out there publicly is the Peter Lopes, number, where was that? Six. Peter Lopes is a youth sports guy, and he was out here today with Philip Cervantes and Edgar
Madrugan,
who's a soccer savant. And they're looking at volunteering their time as youth sports guys to work with, to highlight Biola kids in soccer and potentially boxing.
Track.
And then possibly boxing too down the road. But he's had a lot of success in communities like ours, and he's, Anthony Robles is the guy that hooked us up with him. And he wants to adopt us, and we think we should let him, our kids. But they think they can get 100 kids out here on the school grounds playing soccer. And so we're going to, he said there's, every kid gets a soccer ball, so we're going to, this won't be us, but they'll need to, yeah. So anyway, that could be really exciting for the community. Is kind of why
we had a soccer league, a boys and girls soccer league. What happened to it?
I don't know if it was a girl.
Boys soccer. Well, no, I mean before
that.
Because my kids played soccer.
Oh, Frankie Galvan and
Randon, Joy.
Back in the 90s.
And David, and Denny. But David, David. David
was. When were the 90s?
Right over the top.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years when your kid was 10 years old.
Do I see long-term?
Possibly, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we got some really good opportunities for our kids. And we're going to support the heck out of them.
We got a potential, we have a verbal to actually use all she's been sites as a youth center from the existing property owner, which is big. So we did a tour there today, and it needs a lot of work. But it's a very, very functional building, a whole bunch of potential. And then also met with the school, and that was extremely promising. And the school basically opened their arms and said, whatever we can do to help. And, you know, they start working on the facilities use, and we talked about hours, days, the lights are already being turned on. So very, very promising altogether. And these guys are volunteers, just want to do some good. They got an incredible track record.
The lights on the field are on?
Well, they'll be on from 5 to 9. Yeah, until the time changes and then we start from there. So they're looking at 2 days a week at this point to start. But it's girls and boys. It's not just boys.
When will they start? When will they start?
Well, we need to come up with some balls, first and foremost. And then we're looking at probably 2 weeks. So we don't have to have a ball for every child, but they would like a ball for every child because he wants everybody moving instead of standing in lines. Because he said kids are a lot harder to control when they don't have something to do.
Yeah, so they get nervous.
For the next guy to pass the ball back to them, it's very cumbersome trying to keep it. He said he's ran clinics with 120 U6. So if you can handle 126 year-old kids at the same time, you're
U6 is five. It's not six. It's under six.
Well, you're right. The background, one of them, Pete Lopes, Coach Lopes, he coaches the Valley Viper. They have six national champions on that track. Six, and they're all from the Valley. And Pete, Edgar Malzahn is the highest ranked coach in terms of degree in all of Fresno. So everybody knows him. And so he can accredit it other coaches, which he wants to do, because obviously he can't do this forever.
So now, would that be offered to only children in our community, or can people outside come?
At this point, because of the resources we have available, it's kind of, they don't want to turn any kid away, personally.
Right.
They're not going to sit there and say, where are you from? But our focal point is the Biola kids, because that's the closest impact we want to make. So,
right.
But we're not going to turn kids away. And it will grow. And if the kids have the resources to come from a different area, they may have the resources to buy their own shirt or their own ball or their own. And so, I guess it'll be done on a case-to-case basis, but nobody's going to be interviewed and say, what school do you come from? What school? So their aspirations is to make it grow, sure, without a doubt. But initially, our focus is the local kids.
Might have to pull out your little taco trailer and have a fundraiser for tacos on.
Well, it's going to take more than that, but when you do good, the funds come.
Any other questions on anything I wrote?
Well, you know what? The only thing that was here on C, and then 4B, D, it says, we never had the right to pay the taxes or take the property from before
we
the
We misunderstood auction. That. I totally misunderstood what the rules were. I was led to believe, and I don't know how I got that when, because we're a municipality and we got the letter as an interested party, that we had the right to buy it
before
the auction.
Oh, okay.
For the tax defaulted amount. And so I finally got hold of my fault, I went back and reviewed the letter I initially got, and they said they were pretty clear. But basically, if you want to buy the property beforehand, you got to negotiate with the owner. Period.
Okay. You see, I thought it was Mr. Delgado that was telling this. When I read this, is that we never had. I thought he told
no,
you we didn't have the right.
No.
Oh, okay.
He. I found out before I ever talked to him.
Oh, all right.
And they said you know, if he doesn't pay his taxes, it's going to go on the auction block. And if he, nobody buys it, it's still his until the prior year. And the county doesn't take possession of the property. I had it wrong. The reason that we got notified was if he owed us a big bill for water or sewer services, we could put a lien on the property.
Oh.
That's the only reason we got the notification.
Now, the one before that says Mr. Delgado did not want Paul looking inside his building.
Yeah, Paul was our assessment guy doing the phase one, and he asked if he could go inside and take photographs of the inside of the deal.
And
David said no. He goes, I really don't want to have him do that. I'm planning on paying my taxes and getting it off. It's not going to be for auction anyway. And so
I have a question, and I don't think it's on here, but I was just curious. I noticed that I guess our hours of operation are changing, and I don't know anything about it, so I was just asking.
Thank you for asking that. I forgot all about that. I would have put that. Bottom line is that Elaine and Florinda and I, in trying to get stuff done, one of the things we notice is in 5 days a week, there's a constant flow of people who come in and want to pay their bills. And so we're trying to set up a system where every 2 weeks we have payroll, every 2 weeks we do our accounts payable. We pay our bills. And our bills all have to be generated here and then go to the accountant. That means somebody has to physically take them. And so we've set it up so Mondays and Fridays are the days that we're getting all the billing done and the accounts receivable and all the stuff, the relationship with the accountant and the payroll and stuff, and on those 2 days. And so we look back on former stuff where they used to have the office was only open for paying certain numbers of days of the week, and so we've decided to go back to that. And so the office is open, but we want to tell our customers that we want all of our payments to come in on the middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so that we can get our other stuff done without having to...
That's what the little window's for.
And that's what the little window's for. It's more efficient. We try to keep the door closed, window open, people come in. And we've got a little place. If they bring their kids, they can have their little seat. If they want to spend a quarter, they can get some peanuts. And then Florinda doesn't have to, you know, because in the past she had to get up, walk around on the other side of the desk and lean over and do this. And so it's just more efficient so that Florinda we can maximize her time in there. So that was the thinking behind that, and I apologize for not clarifying that to you before. But our hours are still the same. And what we need to do, one of our to-do list things, is we need to clarify that on a sign out on the on the fence, like we have now, so that people know. So, hope that helps.
Have you found out anything on this activer from Jeff Hunter? He wants to be sending more wastewater into our ponds?
Well, it's still an open deal. As I noted there, I'm going to be meeting with him later, and they're looking to expand.
Yeah.
They want to like double the size of their operation and change the flow of it and all of that. They there are places right across the street from our plant, and so they would like to be able to discharge their wastewater into our treatment plant. Now, Jared Steele and the engineers kind of go, whoa, wait a minute. Because the only issue has everything to do with bacteria.
It upsets it.
Well, it could.
Kills it.
It wouldn't necessarily. But it could. And so at this point, the plan is if the Actigro wants to do that, they know this, that's an issue, and they would set up a pre-treatment plant on their side prior to it getting to our system, to treat it in such a way so that none of the nitrates or phosphates that mess up the bacteria world would hurt us. We have plenty of capacity in there to handle whatever wastewater they have now and in the future. We're way good in terms of our perk bonds and our space.
Well, we only spend $500,000 to get it there.
I know. So we're good. We're good for a lot of expansion if we ever needed it. But so they'd be a drop in the, literally, bucket for, but the whole issue. So what has to happen is our engineer folks would have to identify what those issues are, the bacteria issues, and what they would have to do to treat them and the condition of the water by the time it gets to us. So I tend to think it's better for I still think it's a real deal. But in talking about it too, and it's not a, there's a lot of issues legally that we would have, and contractually that we would have to put in place in anticipating potential problems. Because once you start that, unless you have stuff in place that gives us leverage to solve a problem in the future, we could be in big trouble paying for something that we didn't cause. And so entering into this, I think it's got plenty of, it'll be fine, but we have to make sure that we have a an agreement, a legal agreement with Actigrow and us that covers potential problems. And it's not like this is a new problem. There's lots of people. It's not like inventing the wheel. So we'll, I don't anticipate that it'll be difficult to do that.
Oh, Phil had his hand up before I did. I got a question, too.
Go ahead. I started listening more now, but it's
okay. Now, with NutraG coming up, are we going to have the same problem in the future with NutraG?
I don't know. I haven't spoken with them, actually.
Well, they're not dumping any water other than just...
They got regular office.
Yeah, that's
waste.
All they're dumping.
Yeah, just regular.
Because their flushes. Stuff's more like a dry, isn't it? Or something...
It's very similar. Yeah. Theirs is mostly water-based.
And it's more like supplements than, you know, the chemical that's over there. This is different.
But it's still water-based, isn't it? I mean, you got to have water to mix it.
Yeah, but I don't think they're running it into your sewer, though.
Yeah.
Well, never know.
Well, maybe Belinda knows.
I don't see how it's water-based. They're not using very much water at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Well, see, they're bringing that stuff in from out of
the country. Yeah, but that's not their intent, though. Right. I mean, they're eventually going to be doing it here, because that was their main reason, is that they didn't want to be hauling it from over there to here.
Oh.
Because there was a big cost issue of them transporting all that. So that's why they chose to be here, so it would be more costly.
So in the future, they may use our septic lines then.
At some point.
They might. So anyway, that's
yes, sir.
Potentially down the road.
Would there be, you know, with Actigrow doing that, would there be any cost to VCSD?
No, I think they would pay for all of the hookups
and
all of the treatment stuff.
Would you think that they would also pay for any legal stuff that you would have to do to have in place? Because if not, then you're going to have your attorney
right,
at
right.
what cost.
Right.
So you probably want
there's,
to.
There's a bill on everything.
Yeah.
Well, but it's in their interest to have that too.
Right.
And they've got attorney also. And so, yeah. Good question, but I think that's we'll try to be in front of that one.
That's it?
That's it for me.
Okay.
Great.
Oh.
Is this open to anybody?
It's director's comments.
Okay. Last meeting, they spoke with Kerman as far as taking not being taken care of this plant. Has there been some progress?
A little bit. I have to, they're very interested, and I need to sit down with them with really specific things.
It's still in the works.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, people tell me that nobody's ever heard of that before. Contracting an outside agency, another municipality, contracting with another city for these kind of services. But nobody seems to think it's a problem. But what it'll mean, and it's taken me a while to figure stuff out, but in terms of what we pay them to do and what we can do ourselves.
Talk about Jared.
I'm talking about Jerry.
No.
And his two guys, Phil and Carlos.
Carlos.
And they're good guys, and they do good work. But there's just a lot of stuff that doesn't take a Class 2 license for, that we could have other people do for a lot less money. And so that, I'm in a better place now to have that conversation with Ken Moore from Kerman about, say, okay, let's go down the list of the, what do you do?
Oh, you're talking about the weeding and spraying?
I'm talking about weeding and spraying and taking care of the wastewater plant, taking care of the squirrels,
samples.
Collecting samples. You don't need a degree to collect a sample. Any of us could do that.
You don't even, in other words, you don't need a guy that's getting paid $40 an hour to do it. Or what is it,
60? 75.
Oh, 75.
So.
He wants a
49. He wants a 49.
Right, right. Yeah. But I'm in my head, I'm starting to do the math. Okay, how much of this stuff can we do for a lot less? And I, you know, just even the weeding. You know, we got to weed the alleys so you can check meters. We need to weed our ponding basins. We need to weed, you know, all of the basin. We've got a landscaping guy who can do that. We pay him a lot less than we pay our operators.
Well, you know, homeowners should be responsible for weeding around their water.
Every homeowner I know will tell you that's not their property.
Well,
we're not expecting that. We expect to weed the alleys. But we got behind on that. We didn't do it till February, and we probably should have done it early January. Because it takes about a month to get a good kill, and by the time that happened, they were kind of big.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more. Anyway, so that would mean that we would just have to plan differently, and we would have to deploy internal resources. Right now, it's, you know, I understand why Jeff set this up. You know, Jeff set it up to be a pretty much of a turnkey operation, where Jared's guys take care of everything, literally all the lab reports, you know, which is a lot. You know, all the tests that you have to do, and you're with both the wastewater treatment guys and the state people and the freshwater people. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that you have to be accountable all the time, and that's what Jared does. That's the world he's in, and he does a pretty good job at it. And then the other piece is taking care of, maintain, doing the maintenance on the wells. You got to run those diesel generators to make sure they're still working, you know, pretty much every week. And you got to run the generator at the wastewater plant. And you got to physically clean the guck out of that auger out at the wastewater plant. And you got to, there's a lot of stuff that pretty much those guys do. And so those are the kind of things that the City of Kerman guys, I think, could do too, because that's what they do over in Kerman, same kind of deal. But the other piece to me that could be real savings is, Jared's guys don't really have big equipment. We've had, in the time I've been here, twice we've had plugs in the pipes out at the wastewater plant. And the solution was to hire Mr. Reuter to come out here with a high-pressure hose and just blast the plug open. Well, that's happened twice. Once in December and once in January. Well, that's $630 to have those guys do that. I think City of Kerman has their own big blaster. So that when that happens, that's part of our deal with Kerman. We get access to their equipment that right now we don't have access to, and we have to pay top dollar for it. So when you start adding up all those kinds of savings, you know, it costs us close, you know, about $70,000 a year to pay for that aspect of our operation. And I don't want to throw out a guess of what we could get it down to, but it'd be a lot less. So, anyway, I've made it my mission here to figure out how to make that happen. And Kerman isn't necessarily the answer. There might be other operators or renegotiating with Jared even. Jared might come down and say, listen, we'll just renegotiate our whole contract and I'll cut my thing in half. Or something like that. So it's not like he's bad or I'm trying to get rid of him, but I've been pretty clear with him that you cost too much, man. Can't live like this.
Now I was going to come up with on number three. That's what I forgot. On here it says something about Fresno County's the one that's supposed to be in charge of that basin, but yet they've never done anything there.
Well, apparently nobody got the memo. In 2009, the county supervisors voted to raise taxes, property taxes in Biola. Not a lot, but a little.
To take care of that.
For the sole purpose of maintaining that ponding basin.
So 6 years later, still nothing.
6 years later, they've collected taxes, and we've got a pretty ratty looking ponding basin.
Yeah, because you got like a tree growing in there now.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of cottonwoods.
Well, and like I said, it came to my attention because the head guys over at the yard, county yard over there, were kind of going, hey, well, who's, are we supposed to take care of that? I don't know. So it was the self-help people that emailed me the contract that said, oh, by the way, it's not us and it's not you. It's the county. So anyway, we hope to get some action on that pretty soon.
I got a question, but it's not on the agenda or any RMS. What did you find out about the vines? That's my pet peeve. And it still ain't been pruned.
I know. I drove by this afternoon. We have 7.5 acres of vines over by the wastewater plant. And we started a contract with Mr. Salwasser last year, December of 13, to be the guy who took care of all of our, did everything, all the farming, all the activity. And almonds are blossoming out. Most people that farm grapes kind of go, you know, you got about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks after the almonds start blossoming. Tell me, farmers, is that right about right? Before, you better get your vines pruned and then tied. Otherwise, when you tie them, you're going to break the buds off and you're going to ruin production. So Reyes asked me to review all this this week. And so I did and talked to
Charlie.
A local raisin farmer who was telling me this stuff. And I also spoke with Mrs. Salwasser and said, hey, you're killing me. And she said they would be done this week. We're really busy and we should have it done this week. We're on it. And she also sent us our check for the crop this year.
How much was that?
It was 2,522. The first year, this is their first crop that they took care of, and our agreement says they get 20% of the gross.
We get 20% of the gross.
Excuse me, we get 20% of the gross, they get 80%. Next year and subsequent years in the contract, it's a 3-year contract, we get 25% of the gross. So they grossed about $12,500 and we got $2,500. Our ability to, if we have problems, there's a bunch of stuff in the contract that we haven't been following. One is that Mr. Solwer is supposed to meet with me like once a month to review, for me to get a report on what's happening on our farm. Okay, I didn't know that until this week, but I don't think that I don't think Mr. Johnson was meeting with Mr. Salwasser every week.
No.
In 2014. But the way the contract is set up, if we have problems with Mr. Salwasser as our farm manager, our recourse is to give him a letter in writing that says we're unhappy with your farming, and you have 10 days. And we have 10 days from that written letter to void the contract. Or 10 days to work out, whatever.
If you give him that letter after he's pruned and tied everything, you'll be in court.
Well, the awkward part of this is, okay, I give him a 10-day letter tomorrow. 10 days from now, I'll have him pruned, but that might still be too late. I don't know. Any great people know? Is it too late? Should we be worried about where we're at right now?
No.
We're still okay.
Still cold enough.
Yeah, you're still all right. You're not fine.
At what point should we worry?
Late March.
When you're budding.
Okay.
Usually, you know, March.
Okay. So it's still too early to worry.
Yeah, and March and
2 weeks.
But with a crew like what they would have, they can go in there and they can, you know, do it in a day or two and tie, and you wouldn't even know they were there.
Well, he had guys just north, just south of our property, and they were moving north towards ours. And then on, when did I have that conversation? Monday. And they stopped and moved everybody across the street. And they're moving north on the other side of the road. So, I don't know. But I requested an appointment with Mr. Salwasser, and she said they're super busy, and she'd get me in as soon as she...
Because the acreage is small, and it's not their priority. So they save it for last.
That's how it feels.
No, that's what I would do, too, though, as a business person.
Right.
But they're not, because they get 80%. So, I mean, it's money to him, so they're even right. Going to let it go.
Well, and he's got a lot of his own stuff that isn't pruned, too, and which I assume is a lot more important to him.
Well, it's hard to get pruned right now.
Is that what it is?
It is.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to defend it, but I know that's an issue.
That's an issue, okay. Well, and then Philip brings up this out-of-the-box thought, is that maybe we ought to pull them out and put in almonds. The price of almonds are...
$5 a pound as opposed to 89 cents a pound for grain of raisins.
You know...
But you still wouldn't be able to take care of it yourself.
No.
You'd have to have someone manage
right.
it.
Right, we would have to have a floor manager.
And you'd get a percentage.
Well, but almonds are a lot less cost efficient than raisins.
Easier to farm?
Easier to farm.
Yeah.
I don't know, you still got to prune the trees.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's not that bad.
You still got to pick them up, same thing. Plus, you still got to, then you got to spend money to pull all 7.5 acres out, disc everything and put, I mean...
You know, level it, subsoil it, level it.
Big almond buyers are doing it for nothing. If you have to sign a 20-year contract and you sell your almonds to them at fair market price, so it's something that could be looked at without cost to the municipality with a whole lot more revenue.
Well, I was going to check it out. I know the guy in Carruthers who's the big, Tony Campos who's the big almond guy. So I just call him up and ask him what it would cost. And
you have to look at the whole picture because everybody's pulling out their vines and putting in almonds.
I know. And then
it would be like the reason Setcher is.
Well, that's one of the reasons I want to talk to Campos because he knows that stuff.
It's a fact about this comes from the Raisin Board. That fact about almonds only grown in California, first of all. There's 480,000 acres of almonds in Fresno County. They could pull them all out and put almonds and still not meet the demand for almonds.
Pull out all the grapes.
Yeah.
Replace them all with almonds.
And that's coming from the Raisin Board saying we're in trouble as far as the industry is concerned.
Well, then raisins go up to about 4,000 a ton. Then will be enough, right?
Well, that depends on the whole shift.
That'd be good for
you. That'd be a Cadillac here for you.
You see, everybody and their mother pulling out
the demand. Yeah, but... The one thing that you have to worry about when you get into those things is just like the raisins. You know, you get the big companies and they buy up so much property because, you know, people are going out. And then at one point they have enough acreage to supply their own needs. And then those other people, then they drop the price on them. And, you know, they also know how to manipulate the fair market value. Don't kid yourself about that. The big corporations are the ones that, you know, set the price. It's just like Gallo, you know,
and wine.
No one will do anything until Gallo sets the price. And if he wants to drop the price, he'll drop the price, and then everyone follows suit. But, you know, you have to be careful.
How old are those vines that we have?
It's 7 acres, not 70. It's a small little piece.
Yeah,
right.
It's not that but see, much. Also you have to figure,
when do we put them in?
You know, who you get to manage it. Will they be willing
no,
to
they've
manage
been there for a while.
7 acres?
Yeah, how many acres?
Yeah, because there's a lot of equipment involved and stuff. So
they were there
40 years, 50
there's a lot
years.
Of things
well, I've been here 50
at.
Years and we're there.
Really? I just wonder how old those grapes are that we have.
See, we were kids running over then they were there.
Yeah, there used to be some railroads, some brown-looking houses sitting in front of them.
They're probably 50
See,
years old.
Some of my vines are 100 years old, and they're still, I mean, they're top producing, you know, per acre.
They have a lot more life than an almond tree.
Yeah, they got 20 years of an almond tree.
Yeah.
That's all an almond tree will give you is 20 years?
Yeah, and it takes you
3 years before you get any type of crop up.
So after 20 years, what happens after 20? They just start producing, or they just stop?
And they start breaking down, so you have to pull it and replant it again.
Oh. Well, that's it for me, sir.
All right.
Close session.
One more question. Did you ever settle the swap meet or the?
I believe we did.
You guys did. Huh?
Yeah, it'll be held here, and here. Sandy Lomar's the contact person.
Diane was here. I just was
wondering if she's the contact person. I think it's changed.
Oh, the contact person has changed.
I think the farmer market manager has changed since we last spoke, Mr. Miller. As reported to me by the chamber, I think there's just been a different person identified. And
that person is Dwight Miller.
You've been volunteered. No, we have. There's also something we have to bring before the service district board for use of the parking lot. So I'll be working with.
It'll be next month.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot for next month to have that over so we can bring it to you on the 18th.
Is that the MOU?
So do we have any?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that hasn't been signed yet?
No, that has not been signed today. That needs to be signed just so that we're following our ducks in a row. So we'll bring that to you hopefully by the 18th. And we just got the person confirmed for the management. And
being a chamber member.
Who is that person?
Who is it?
Right over there.
Oh, she's back.
She's back around too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll take it to the chamber board on in March also.
It'll have to go, be presented to both parties. Okay. We'll have both yourself and representatives of the chamber take a look at the MOU, which will come with the site plan, which will outline location of restrooms, whether there's access to this facility or not. And 2 years ago when we did here, the restrooms and the kitchen were off limits. The restrooms were provided via porta potties outside, and so there were some restrictions. And so those are all things that are negotiable this time around. We can outline into the agreement. But our goal would be to put that on the agenda for the 18th for ratification by your board. And hopefully, okay. By then we'll have both parties agreed to bring it forward.
Great.
Yeah, it's
rolling. Good. Thank you. Okay, so closed session.
Closed session. There's nothing to report?
No.
Okay, so adjournment?
No, we're going into closed session.
We're going to closed session?
Yeah, because I was the only one that gave an evaluation last meeting.
Yeah. So that's just my standard monthly evaluation. So yeah, we have to break for closed session.
All right, we're going to take a 5-minute recess.
I make a motion we come out of closed session at
8:51.
We have a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
No reportable action taken.
So put
back into regular session at 851.3. And so then we have a motion to adjourn.
The cleaning on
I make
the
a motion we adjourn.
Month,
do I hear a second?
Okay.
Is there a second?
Did you get to hear that? Oh,
second.
All
those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Oh, agenda for the cleaning.